Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And this morning we're visiting with Jan Horn, Elgin, Texas. Good morning to you, Jan.
Good morning, LaVon.
Jan, the first thing you need to do is to give us a little background and relate to your relatives here in the area.
Sure. My parents were Kenneth and Virginia Kramer. My dad still lives on one of our family farms just outside of Lewis. And my brother Scott lives with him as well. And then I have an older brother, Tom, who actually lives here in Austin. And I went through the Atlantic schools and graduated in 1976 and on to Simpson College after that.
Okay. And I understand you just retired from your position, your profession at the University of Texas after 29 years there.
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to believe.
Yes, isn't it? Where did that time go, huh?
Exactly. Yes.
So what did you do during those years?
Well, I'll give you just a bit of background.
Yes.
As you know, I was very involved in 4-H during my years at home in Atlantic, and one of the things that I love to do was sew. I learned from my mother and made a lot of clothes for myself, and I really enjoyed the competition and the training that we got through 4-H. So I went on to Simpson College in music and right on to the University of Texas at Austin in vocal performance, and I thought I was going to give it a shot at a performing career in opera or something related. But while I was there, I actually discovered that there were all these background careers, the backstage careers of opera and theater. And the university had just opened a brand new performing arts complex, music building, and all of that included professional production laboratories that students would be able to work in along with professional staff. And we were encouraged, if we were in the opera program, we were encouraged to go to those shops and volunteer a little time so we would appreciate what went on in the process of production. So naturally I went to the costume shop, and I just discovered there the warmest, most welcoming people, and to speak the truth, I was having kind of a rough time in my degree program, not finding that going so well. And then I found this just natural home in the costume shop. And so I took a few classes in the area of costuming, started to learn a little bit about it before I graduated. And then I started working part-time in the shop. I'd really continued to learn in kind of an apprentice style with the staff members there, particularly from the woman whose specialty was tailoring in the shop. And I eventually got a full-time position and sort of a starting position, which was called the stitcher, and continued to sort of apprentice with the tailor. And then she eventually moved. She and her husband moved out of state, and I was able to take over her job. And so I held that position for about 27 years as tailor.
Now, Jan, you sort of alluded to this, but talk a little more about the value of the performing part and the backstage part, because you had both experiences.
Well, right. You know, I think that my experience at Simpson, I got a really intense performance experience, but it was such a small school that we just kind of handled the production stuff ourselves, and we rented our costumes from a rental house for the most part. So until I did some summer work with the Des Moines Metro Opera and was in contact with opera professionals, professional singers, and talking with them, I didn't really realize the careers that existed in the production side, whether people working in the scene shop, building scenery, building props, doing the lighting, work costumes. And as I started to work in the costume shop, what I discovered was that I really enjoyed the creativity of working with my hands and then seeing that finished product on stage and seeing how it worked, seeing how it came to life, seeing the effect of it under lights. But I also understood what the performers needed, particularly the singers. I understood the stresses. I understood that singers are often sensitive about what's around their neck and just general performance demands, how mm-hmm. much you have to move, how hot it gets under the lights. So it helped to have that perspective. And most people, honestly, who work in technical theater have often started off thinking they want to be performers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them do have some of that mm-hmm. experience as well.
We're visiting with Jan Kramer-Horn in Elgin, Texas, about her career and kind of where she got her start. And so, Jan, how much research did you have to do to make sure you had the appropriate costumes to put across the story of the theater?
Well, that's an interesting thing to understand about how professional theater works and academic theater, because, of course, we were training the theater professionals. All the work that I did at UT as a tailor, as a costume person, was for academic productions, either for the opera program in the School of Music or for the theater and dance productions for that department. And UT has an extremely strong graduate program in costume design and technology. So we had graduate students there who were always designing the shows for us. So it's really the designer's job to do that research. They meet with the director and the other designers. It's a very collaborative process in working out their designs. And then they present them to the costume shop staff. And at that point, we start our collaboration with the designer. And because this is an academic setting and the designers are learning, I got to enjoy having probably more input into the design and into details and fabric selection than you might in a professional setting. Mm-hmm. But that's the designer's job, is to do all the research and to select the fabrics.
But sometimes then your knowledge, your skill, and so on, I'm sure had to put a twist on, because the fabrics weren't the same as when this era was, the different kinds of things are available. I'm guessing that sometimes you had to be sort of innovative to carry out the design.
Oh, that's definitely true. Designers and directors get ideas about how they want to do things, and they want to give it a certain twist. And so you'll end up with some very strange fabrics at times that you're trying to make something maybe look like a traditional period garment. And I should say that I certainly did research, but my research was more aimed at looking at the shapes of garments, of men's garments, and studying period styles so that I can help inform the young designers about that. But yeah, I have had to use some odd fabrics, and that's part of the creativity and the fun of it, in
mm-hmm.
a way.
Yes.
Because it keeps it new when you have to figure out how to make an odd fiber or a piece of cloth work in a way that it was probably not intended to.
Jan, I want to now back up a bit. You mentioned that you enjoyed sewing with your mom. You enjoyed sewing in 4-H, and it seems to me that you certainly could be a mentor to someone who said, what kind of career can I have when I start out with this kind of background? So you certainly have just shown that there's all kinds of possibilities, and be open to change.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, I think as you go along, you find out what really interests you. And that's the great thing about college, that hopefully you can get in there and try a lot of different mm-hmm. fields, or at least experiment and see what really catches your interest mm-hmm. and makes your abilities come out.
We want to thank you very much, Jan Kramer-Horn, for visiting with us this morning and sharing some of the things that you've done with your life. And until next time, here's a thought. Smiles never go up in price or down in value.